The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game in VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin alongside everybody.
Hey, yo.
Right here on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. It's Thursday. You know what that means.
Zach and Crack.
Zach and Crack, the comedy duo of Zach and Crack. Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor, who is now the co-leader of the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. Oh,
just taking money right out of Fezzik's pocket.
Co-leader with Fez. We will have Zach on for his NBA plays tonight, tomorrow night, his thoughts on the two games that remain in the conference semifinals, plus any remaining matches in Rome today in the Italian Open, both on the men's and ladies' side. See if he has any tennis plays as well. Are we sure? Estamos seguros. We're doing that a little later on, too. Kelly will ask me questions and ask the, you know, the macro question, the existential sports question. Are we sure that these things are true, betting-wise? We'll get into that. And, of course, Unscripted with Crackman Bill Krakenberger a little later on. And, of course, the National Football League. Do you have NFL schedule release fever?
A little bit. Mike Somich, Matt Brown did an amazing job on our special schedule release special last night. I listened to a lot of it on the way in today. Just a great job running through different notes for stuff for before the season starts. And as we always talk about, Gil, we've talked about it for years, right? You want to make your season-long prep. You want to make notes and circle spots on calendars for in-season. Matt and Mike did a great job with that last
night. When
does
the schedule go hard? When does it go soft? Right. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
We'll get into that here momentarily. We start with the National Basketball Association last night. This is probably one of the more ho-hum nights of the NBA playoffs, if you could define ho-hum. Kind of two blowouts is really what it was. The second of which is the end of the Warriors season. What are you going to do? No Steph, no nothing. Timberwolves on their way to their second consecutive conference finals. Timberwolves get it done against the Dubs last night. They win that series 4-1 and do so really kind of easily last night. They led by 7 after 1. They closed the second half on a, the second quarter on a 17-5 run to lead by 15 at the half. They led by 21 after 3. The Warriors would actually get it down to 99-90 with over 7 minutes left, but that lasted for mere seconds. They would never get closer than that. 121-110. Minnesota wins it.
Shout out to everybody that got that Warriors plus 11 and a half when it was up.
Plus 11 and a half was everything.
Because it got bet down before the game, and we saw it close at 9.5. Here.
Dribble out ensured that that cashed. And that game soared over the total, by the way. Soared over the total. So the T-Wolves move on. They will play, of course, the winner of the Nuggets and Thunder series, game 6 of which is tonight. Postscript on the Warriors, you know, hey, Pajemski had 28, Kuminga had 26, figure out something with both of those guys. But, you know, like with the Cavaliers, just a tough way to end the season when it comes down to
brutal
with injuries. Tonight, that game, by the way, between the Thunder and Nuggets, it is a standalone NBA game tonight. Game 6 in that series, again, to determine who will play, ultimately, the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. If Thunder win tonight, it's them. Nuggets trying to stave off elimination and force a Game 7 back in OKC. The Thunder, 5-point favorite, total 216. What you got?
Those fives are gone. It's 4.5 now, basically, everywhere that I'm seeing. So, Thunder money coming in. I guess no huge surprise, Gil. I was hoping to monitor this throughout the day and catch a 5 or 5.5 with the Denver Nuggets, so I guess I'm waiting for it to hopefully go back to that point. I'm not going to get in at 4.5. It did make that move here this morning. I would like to look, I expect a strong effort from the Denver Nuggets tonight. I did bet them first quarter money line already. I think they come out early. Try to, you know, play Jokic a lot, try to make a statement early in this game, get up, and then I'll avoid them first half, but I would like to grab a plus 5 full game. I think they do have a bit of an advantage tonight going back home, and I think we see a game 7, although I will be very happy if the Thunder could just win this and get this over with here.
I would, with apologies to your bet and to you, I would love to see a game 7.
Yep.
Would love to see a game 7. By the way, you know who else I think would like to see a game 7? I think the networks would.
Yeah,
Minnesota and Indiana are great, great stories, and congratulations to both those fan bases. And if you had tickets on them that are still alive, good on you. But boy, oh boy, they are like Minnesota and Indiana. Oh boy, mm-hmm. We need some kind of star power here. And I'm not sure, right? I'm not sure the casual NBA fan is as familiar with the Thunder as they are with Nikola Jokic at this point. So either way, Nuggets tonight. Fives are gone. 4.5-point dog at home trying to force a game seven. The other game last night, we finally did have one of the 3-1s because remember Indiana, they absolutely got it done in five against the Cavs the other night. But the 1-3-1 series that is going to a sixth game and who knows how much longer, Boston staving off elimination last night by beating the Knicks. And this is, again, the thing with this, right? If you're down 3-1, but you have games 5 and 7 potentially at home, you do have your hat to hang on that. Of course, Jason Tatum with the ruptured Achilles not participating. But this one was a tight game. Knicks were up 9, 42-33 in the second quarter. But a 13-2 Boston run gave the Celtics a 46-44 lead. It was tied at 59 at the half. And then the second half happened, and it was all Celtics. They went up 91-76 after three. Jalen Brunson was in foul trouble. He got his fifth in that process. He then would foul out with 7:19 left in this game with the Celtics up 21, 106-85. Celtics led by as many as 28. They win it by 25 going away. Derek White was awesome, 34 in victory. Jalen Brown, 26-8-12, of course, without Tatum on the court. And Luke Kornet, did you have this, Kelly? 10, 9, and 7 blocks off the bench for the Celtics.
Yeah, huge game by Kornet. He's been important at times for this Boston team over the past couple of years, but no more important than right now, Gil, because it is Porzingis can't play. It's just he's giving them nothing when he's out there on the court.
Upper respiratory problem, we're being told here, right? Upper respiratory problem with Porzingis, and yeah. That's why Kornet got those minutes, and Joe Mazzulla just couldn't have him in the game.
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to that Porzingis mystery illness in March, and we still really haven't learned anything more about it. He's obviously good enough to get out there and play, but, man, he's just not... Yeah, they've talked about how he is struggling, upper respiratory stuff, to get through these games, and it's just... It's gotten to a point where he just looks useless out there at times.
Tomorrow night, Game 6 at Madison Square Garden on a Friday night. Knicks down to a 2-point favorite now in this game.
Yeah, that's
209.5 the total.
I guess I was expecting a little bit closer to a pick'em, but
I saw a 3. Did I imagine a 3 yesterday, and now it's down to 2? I thought I saw a 3.
I didn't even check. I didn't even check openers, so I wouldn't.
Yeah,
me.
I did because we're showing a 2.5 up here, but I'm looking at it. I'm staring at a 2 right now. So this is a tick down from where it was. I'm actually the other way. I'm surprised it's only that. I thought it would be a solid 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we closed 5 in that game last night. So, I mean, it's a pretty big swing for given home court and the situation. This is already a little bit more than they should be getting, but I hear you because that is you have to bake that in the closeout situation in the line.
But this is the proverbial sphincter tightening one, right? This is you have the 3-1 lead, and again, you only have of the remaining 5, 6, 7. You only have 6 on your home court. So if the Celtics win game 5, which they did, pressure firmly now in your corner. So it's, you know, this is it. If the Knicks lose this, then you're facing the game 7 on the road, Tatum or not. And the Celtics, they are still breathing right now in this. Winner of this, of course, takes on the Indiana Pacers. Winner of this will have home court, as will the winner of the Thunder Nuggets series have home court over the T-Wolves out west.
It's it, man. This is tough. I mean, game 6, I love that we just get a couple days of the New York Knicks fan base freaking out of like getting worried again all of a sudden, you know what I mean? That they got to win one of these last two games. I think the Knicks get it done in game 6 and this series is over, Gil, but the Celtics showed you last night, like Tatum can be out. The whole offense is designed about around volume threes. We talked about this yesterday, and if you're hitting at a high percentage, they can still beat a lot of teams out there. So I'm not saying they're completely dead. I think the Knicks win this game 6, and it is over. I'll throw it out you because I'm going to use one of these for my last selection in the Killer Sports VEASAN contest.
Yes.
Which side do you like better, Denver tonight or the Knicks so game
that,
six.
So that is exactly, I too have one pick left in the second round. Again, we have a mandatory, we had a mandatory 20 picks in the first round. We have a mandatory 10 in the second round. I mean, not mandatory. If you choose not to use them, that's your problem. But that's the most we can make, and it's the it's what we should make. I had the exact same question that I asked myself, because that's all it is. I don't want any part of the totals. I don't want any part of the favorites. It's what do I like better, Denver plus the points or the Knicks minus the two?
I think the line tonight is gonna dictate that decision for me. If I can get five on Denver,
whatever the contest line
is. If I can get five on Denver, I'll be in on that tonight, I think. But otherwise, it's probably Knicks.
Can we flash up the standings for the the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Challenge? The brainchild of Carl Sack over there at Killer Sports. First prize, $3,000. Fezzik pledged his to the good folks here at Circa. I pledged mine to the guys and gals behind the glass here that make this show possible. Steve Fezzik and Zach Cohen, co-leaders in the clubhouse, 19-11 after two rounds. How about that? Doug Kazarian, who needs to make two more picks here in these final games of the second round of the conference semifinals, he's in second place, tied in the loss column, though. Just needs to follow up with a couple wins here to be in that tie. And then it is you and me, baby, along with Alex Christensen. We are tied for fourth. The three of us, 15-13-1, the three of us need to make one pick each here towards the end of this round as well.
Man, it feels like we're in danger territory, Gil, of those three at the top pulling away.
No, we've actually closed the gap very, very well.
Well, Steve's dropped back a little bit?
Steve has dropped back. Doug has dropped back. Zach is the one that can't be stopped.
It can't be stopped right now, man.
If only we had a chance to talk to Zach, and we will here momentarily. But NFL schedule talk on the other side. Let's do that next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out NFL Schedule Release Insights, Greg Peterson's MLB Picks, and the Thundered Nuggets Best Bets. Later today you can check out Black Eyed Susan Steaks Preview, Jonathan Davis's NHL Props and Picks, and Adam Burke's MLB Best Bets. Right now you can sign up for our annual subscription and get 14 months for only $199 with promo code PRO. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe. To sign up today. PGA Championship, Kelly, at Quail Hollow, underway.
Yeah.
Golf's stepchild major, some might say. I wouldn't be one of them, some might say. Luke Donald, we have a big co-lead at the top here.
Yeah, we do.
We have
interesting names.
Oh my God, we have eight golfers tied for the lead, all at three under. Luke Donald, Ryan Fox, Nico Echevarria, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Rasmus Højgaard, Keegan Bradley, and Stefan Jaeger. All of them, three under. Live odds, longest live odds for any of these guys, Luke Donald, 600-1, I'm seeing.
Yeah, still don't bet it.
Still don't bet it. There's your golf advice.
The Ryder Cup captains tied at the top, Keegan Bradley and Luke Donald.
Do you have any first-round leader bets?
I do. Let's see. I have Xander Schauffele and Rory McIlroy. Xander is currently even par through six. Rory is one under through six. They are playing in the same group. Scottie Scheffler, one shot off the lead, just to throw that out there for all of us that just wait for tournaments to be over when Scheffler takes a four-stroke lead on a
Scottie Scheffler is what did you say?
One shot back. He's two under par.
I'm not seeing that on my leaderboard. What leaderboard are you looking at?
ESPN.
I got John Rahm one stroke back.
Yeah, he is there as well.
Okay.
There are a lot of guys 200 par. Yep.
I'm looking at the PGA Tour leaderboard, and they don't have that updated with Scotty. So there you go.
200 through six. And I got Keith Mitchell later teeing off. He has not teed off yet. So first round leader, I will be riding the wave of Keith Mitchell. He tees off in 2 hours.
All right. To the National Football League. This is becoming a bigger and bigger deal every year. Schedule release. Every team now does their own video for this, their own sort of schedule release hoopla. We had a lot of votes for the LA Rams having the best one yesterday, by the way. They had Brenda Song doing, I guess, a Disney veteran. She used to be a Disney star. She was doing like a fake news report within. She was releasing the schedule week by week. It was actually very amusing. They had Jared Verse, Braden Fisk there, employing their FSU educations as part of that as well. It was very funny. So
what does that mean?
No. That was for you. Can we start with just week one schedule? Because I think this is for Survivor purposes, this is the headline for me right out of the gate before we even get into team by team.
It was the first text we sent, right?
Well, Joe Pita sent us the grid of week one. And the question being, oh my God, who do you play week one of Survivor? Cowboys at Eagles, even though the Eagles are 7-point favorites, I don't think people are going to be racing to play the Eagles in that game. Opening night, division game, you know the drill.
Not for me, though.
And then look at everything else. So it's Chiefs 3 on the road at the Chargers. Then we go to Sunday. Raiders at the Patriots. Patriots 3.5-point favorites. Steelers 2.5 at the Jets. Bengals 4.5 at the Browns. Division game. Some people don't like to play division games.
There's some gross games.
Dolphins and Colts. Colts favor by 1.5. Panthers and Jags. Jags favor by 3.5. Okay, here's candidate number one. You ready?
Yeah.
Candidate number one. The Giants are taking on Jaden Daniels and America's favorite team, the People's Champion, the Washington Commodores, who are 7.5-point favorites. But here's the rub if you're doing this at Circa. The Commodores play on Christmas.
Mm.
They host America's longest drought of an NFC championship team, the Dallas Cowboys. That's what they call them, right? America's team. America's longest drought of an NFC championship team, Dallas Cowboys. Yep. So you may want to save Washington for that if you're in Circa. So the Commodores, you kind of wipe them off the board. Let's go to the next part of this for the week one schedule.
How many primetime games do your Commanders have?
7 standalone games. That's how much the people, and by the people, I mean the National Football League themselves, want to display this lovely franchise that is going to be moving back into the District of Columbia with a state-of-the-art stadium and has two of the most likable young players that have ever been produced in Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. Sorry, I'll stop. I'm getting a little...
Nice. We had what? Chiefs with 8? Cowboys with 8?
The Cowboys have 8?
I think so.
No, don't tell me that.
I think so. How this year?
That's stupid. But the Skins have 7. Anyway, let's continue with the week one schedule. Who are you playing in Survivor? The Bucks are 2.5-point favorites at the Falcons. Cardinals are 3.5-point favorites at the Saints. Some of these games are ridiculous. Okay, here it is. Titans at Broncos. I think this is our answer.
Yeah.
The Broncos are 7.5-point favorites hosting the Titans. Now, you'll see the rest of them. Niners 1.5 at the Seahawks. Packers 1.5 hosting the Lions. Texans 3.5-point dogs at the Rams. Bills 1.5-point favorites hosting the Ravens. And then on Monday night, the Bears only 1.5-point favorites hosting the Vikings. So my question becomes, and specifically at Circa because the Commanders play on Christmas, good God, what is the percentage of people what is the percentage of entries that is going to be on the Broncos week one?
Very high.
It is going to set the record.
It will. Oh, you think so?
For the highest percentage on any team ever in week one.
I mean, you could probably just send mine in now. Like, sign up. Sign me up, enter week one. I can't imagine I'd be on anybody else. Commanders would be number two. But I think it's interesting because you got the Commanders. The Commanders-Giants game is an interesting discussion because would you rather attack... Okay, you know, division game, right? I actually would rather attack those earlier in the season. I think as these teams have reset rosters a little bit, you're catching a newer Giants team with newer pieces, right? Everything trying to come together. But the question is, if you're going against the Giants specifically, would you rather play them early or late? You know, are you going to have Russell Wilson in early, or would you rather attack him when Jackson Dart's in down the road? I don't know.
I'm just saying the way to play it would be to not play the Broncos and let everybody else play them and then pray that Cam Ward is the second coming and that they beat the Broncos. But I believe a ridiculous cartoonish percentage will be on the Broncos week one.
Okay, so I'm not, I'm usually not the guy to make a week one bet this early, but... That Cardinals, there are Cardinals 3 out there anywhere? Because I bet that. I think I bet that right now.
By the way, Stevie Fezzik will be on the show tomorrow. Steve Fezzik likes nothing more than betting these NFL games in May, months in advance of their actual being played. So he's going to have all kinds of thoughts on spreads tomorrow. Can we go to...
Oh, wow.
What?
This is out to 4.5 already. Cardinals 4.5.
I'm just doing a show over here.
Sorry.
That's all right. it's okay. This is what we're doing. Most wins, fewest wins?
Yeah, let's
most
do it.
Wins, fewest wins. Which one do you want to start with?
We'll go most first.
Most first. All right. Most wins, you can bet this. And again, now through the prism of actually having a schedule, you can sort of make an educated a bet here. but most wins, the Buffalo Bills are the favorite, or the short shot at plus 425, Ravens plus 550, Eagles, Chiefs both 8-1, and then everybody else double digits. I'm just here to say the Buffalo Bills are absolutely properly the short shot. They have four home games through the first 5 weeks. Four toughest, that's a great start to your schedule to sort of set the tone. But their four toughest opponents on their schedule are all at home. Baltimore week one, KC week nine, Cincinnati week 14, and the Eagles week 17.
Yep.
Those are their hardest games. And the rest of their schedule, kind of cake. Plus 425. So I think they are, and if you go to any other team, I can give you a counter argument. The Bills absolutely ought to be. Look at that. It is peppered. Everything I just mentioned, those are the hardest games. They're all at home. Everything else, cake. I mean, you got Jets twice, obviously, in division, right? But
they're going to smash this
Patriots
division.
Twice, right? You got the Dolphins twice. But you, apologies to the Dolphins. But you have Saints and Panthers and, right? You have the Bucks from the AFC South. Apologies to the Bucks. I know you're not as bad as those. But it's just a division. It's just a schedule that is ripe for tons of wins, and they should be the short shot. If I made you take another, is there another one to take?
Okay, anyway? There is. I'm glad you asked this. I'm glad I wanted to let you go for a little while too, because I went through multiple teams, was kind of going through a bunch. I kept coming back to. I think Bills, even at that Bills, number, is the best bet on the board.
It's 100% what I landed on.
Second best one I've got for you is the Rams. Just because I think this Rams team is still being slept on a little bit from just where they belong in the pecking order, the NFC, and 20-1. If you're looking for a longer shot, if I was going to go further down the board, that's where I'd go.
Yeah. Fewest regular season wins is a little more interesting. I would agree that the Browns, the Browns quarterback room is Joe Flacco and Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett. The Saints quarterback room starts with Tyler Shuck. And of course, also, so he's the incumbent starter right now. The Giants, though, have Russell Wilson. The easiest schedule, if we're just doing it based on schedule, the easiest schedule to me, and apparently to others, is by far the Giants. But they have the most reliable quarterback of that bunch, I think most would argue. And so I don't have a problem with them being slotted at number three. So plus 475 on the Browns, 5-1 on the Saints, plus 650 to the Giants. That calculus for me is just Giants have the easiest schedule, but they have the most reliable quarterback. To me, if there's
toughest schedule,
pardon me. To me, the long shot flyer, we'll get to that on the other side. Because I do think there's another team with a terrible quarterback room that might be worth a thought. And God help me when I say the words. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Bet the Preakness Stakes with First Bet and get rewarded. New customers can use promo code VSiN200 to score a 20% rebate on all wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. That's win or lose, you get paid back. Download the First Bet app or visit first.com/bet. Use promo code VSiN200 to get started today. That's first.com/bet. Promo code VSiN200. Remember, use the number one on first.com/bet. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly and I were just talking about something. I got into a Twitter debate with one of our listeners about the NBA draft lottery and how, I said the coin flip between the Bulls and the Mavs is what ended up getting the Mavs the number one pick in the draft. And he went into some existential thing about how can you say that that just because the coin flip, that in a different world where the coin didn't land that way, that the same combinations would have been pulled? Like, it was this whole thing. And I'm like, what? No, it's the combinations of the team that ended up in the 11th slot. Anyway, so we got back and forth about it. But Twitter arguments don't usually go well. But you know how ours ended? He's now bringing us brownies. And so my strategy is to have Kelly eat the first brownie, see how that goes.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out if I'll eat the brownie.
Yeah, see, you two will literally break bread. I like that. Yeah. I like that that's the conclusion. However, if you've said anything bad to me before on Twitter, no offense, I love you, but I'm not eating any homemade food that you bring to the studio.
He didn't say anything bad to me. We just got into a debate about something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Wyatt, try it.
Let me know how the first... Yeah, Wyatt. Wyatt, let me know how the first brownie tastes. One more thing before we get to Zach about the NFL schedule. So we're talking about the fewest wins. Just the Giants schedule, just a note on the Giants schedule. So we're just talking about how the Bills play all of the hardest teams they play are at home, right, as we just went through. But the Bills are a really good football team. That works out beautifully for them. The Giants, in order to get wins, you would almost want for their easiest games to be at home because they're not good at football, if that makes sense. Their home schedule is the hardest in the NFL. So you're not a good team, at least on paper, right? And here's what you play at home. Week 3, Kansas City. Week 4, Chargers. Week 6, Eagles. Week 9, Niners. Week 11, Packers. And that's not even talking about week 15 against the Commodores. So that's your Giants schedule. But the long shot, I teased this before the break. You know what I'm about to say, right?
Oh, yeah. I already wrote it down, too. I know exactly where you're going.
Mike Tomlin, I hope you're not listening. Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, the quarterback room is Mason Rudolph, Skylar Thompson, and Will Howard. I get it, Aaron Rodgers. 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers is somewhere out there acting like he's going to play for the Steelers. And I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. But maybe he does. I don't care. Steelers are, what, 35-1 in this market?
Yep.
All right, if you want a long shot in either of these, that's probably the long shot. Because the Steelers, again, with a, I don't know if you know this, you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a team. And if that's the case with them, it's not the easiest go-around. 35-1 would be the long shot. I will say again, though, Giants have the hardest schedule. Those other teams are worse than the Steelers. But the Steelers have a scenario in life here. Again, their division is always tough with the Bengals and the Ravens. Those are four tough games to begin with. But they're going to have to go to Ireland to play the Vikings. They've got some road games that could be dicey, certainly at the Lions is, certainly, you know, at the Bears, if you believe the Bears are going to be good, would be at the Chargers as well. So I don't know. This is not the race to the fewest wins. You know, it's not last winless.
Right.
It's just most, you know, fewest wins by the end of the season. So anyway,
I did make a bet.
You did
make my first NFL bet of the season.
Yeah.
Giants under on their win total. 5.5.
I said that a month or 2 months ago, whenever the schedule came out, where we, not with the sequence, but we knew who they were playing, as like Giants under 5.5. It's too difficult. Sorry, Giants fans. Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is VSiN senior editor, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, and co-leader in the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Challenge. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. I haven't gotten in any arguments on Twitter with Duncan Hines like you have, so I'm doing all right.
Well, good. By the way, you're 19-11. We flashed this up earlier. You and Fezzik, both in the clubhouse, leaders, 19-11. 8 games left, 5 in the conference final round, 3 in the NBA finals. That's what will determine this. Kazarian, Alexander, and Bidlin on their heels here, along with Christensen. Let me just give you the scouting report on Steve Fezzik, and maybe you can use this to your advantage. Here's the thing with Steve. He is a great contest player. He knows how to employ game theory. These are his strengths. Here's the negative. Here's his kryptonite. He doesn't know a damn thing about the National Basketball Association. So work with those elements and see if you can emerge victorious.
Yeah, I think that I've done well so far because I've had conviction in a lot of series. Like, I thought the Cavs would, you know, have trouble with the Pacers. That ended up going well for me. And I thought the Timberwolves would have a lot of success in these playoffs. But I still have some of these strong feelings moving forward. I'm nervous that that's going to be, you know, the undoing of me in the next round. But hopefully it's not.
Well, your T-Wolves conviction, when I think of the T-Wolves, I do think of you. Because you were the one who made the stand on them. And you're like, this team is going to go far. And you have you have tickets on both the Pacers and T-Wolves, right?
Yes, I have the Pacers 44-1 to win the East. I have the Timberwolves at 14-1 and again at 20-1.
Wow. Woo. All right. Zach Cohen, everybody, getting it done. What about the game tonight? Game 6 in Denver with the Nuggets, 4.5-point dogs. What do you think about this one?
Yeah. I hate to do this to Kelly. I like the Nuggets +5, kind of like the money line. I just have been really unimpressed with Oklahoma City in the postseason so far. I think there were a lot of things we wanted to see from them this postseason. We wanted to see, you know, Jalen Williams emerge as a true number two. We wanted to see the three-point shooting continue from the regular season to the postseason. That stuff has not been there. It's been there a little bit more when they've played at home. On the road, it hasn't been. They've looked like a completely different team than they were during the year. And you look at shot quality stats, you look at NBA Game Report, which is a really good account on Twitter. The Nuggets had a better, you know, expected score in game five. And I just do think that going back home to Ball Arena, they're going to win this game. So I think we're going to see seven in this series. I would lean Thunder in seven, but yeah, it just has not been the same team that we've been handicapping the entire season.
All right. And then tomorrow night, game six back in New York, Madison Square Garden, Friday night. What a scene where the Knicks are 2-point favorites as they try to close out the Tatum-less Celtics or face the possibility of going back to TD Garden for game seven.
Yeah, I'll probably be on the Knicks money line. Honestly, I'm rooting for the Celtics to win. I took some really bad parlays earlier in the series, expecting Tatum not to get hurt and for the Celtics to win that game four. But I'm still alive there. Don't feel great about him, though. I do think the Knicks are going to win this game. Similar story. I thought the shot quality score for the Knicks was a little stronger than the Celtics last game. Boston shot the lights out last night. I've never really seen anything like that. I think there's an empowerment that comes with that, with playing without a star, where everyone feels, you know, the ultimate green light, and there's a pressure for the Knicks not knowing what to expect from the Celtics and, you know, wanting to close that game out, but maybe wanting to do it a little bit more at home. I think going back to MSG, they're going to win the series.
All right, with your Pacers ticket, who would you rather the Pacers face? The Knicks at full strength or the Celtics without Tatum?
I'd rather them face the Celtics without Tatum, but I'm assuming they're going to get the Knicks at full strength.
Okay. Because even what's interesting about that is if the Celtics were to come back from a 3-1 deficit and beat the Knicks, remember how, you know, your feeling about them might be a little different at that point. But you would still want to face the Celtics without Tatum. Same question.
To expand on that, like I still don't think Jaylen Brown is healthy. Porzingis looks terrible. It's like if they win three in a row, they win three in a row. I just don't think that this team looks great without Tatum, who, you know, had them on their back in that game four and was playing one of the best games I've ever seen him play. Like, I think they desperately need him to beat really good teams.
And I'll assume with your Timberwolves ticket that you'd rather play the Nuggets, but I guess that's a horrible choice there either way between a Jokic-led Nuggets or OKC.
Yes, I'd rather play the Nuggets. They've played them well in the past, but yeah, it's not a great decision either way. I will definitely be hedging those tickets. Not sure exactly how yet.
I asked this of JVT and Kelly yesterday as a thought exercise of, okay, the Thunder is still out there lurking. If I came to you from the future and I said, hey, guess what? The Thunder did not win the NBA championship. Give me the team then, including the Nuggets, because they're still alive, right? How would you rank? Well, what's at the top? Who do you believe won it then? If the Thunder didn't, who did?
Oh, it's really tough. I think the Timberwolves are the best non-Nuggets, the best non-Thunder team remaining. Having said that, you know, seeing them go out and beat the Knicks would be really tough. I mean, the Knicks are really talented. Like, you look at their roster, they are as good as anyone in the league in terms of just their best players, their role players, and everything. The reason we have all kind of discounted the Knicks is because they never put it together during the regular season. There was a lot of sloppy play throughout the year, but that roster is really, really good. Brunson has been the best number one in the postseason so far, and those wings are starting to play really well together. So in terms of actual talent, the Knicks might be the best team remaining.
All right. Anything left in Italy and Rome today in the Italian Open?
I have Paolini minus 2.5 games right now. I thought that Stearns was going to run out of steam after, you know, third set tiebreakers, one of which she was throwing up after. And I do have Casper Ruud plus 1.5 sets and a sprinkle on the money line against Sinner, which is, you know, really not anything to do with Sinner. Just Ruud is a really good clay court player. Sinner's a little unproven on the surface. Also has not played in 3 months.
Paolini, what did you have Paolini minus how many games?
Minus 2.5 games.
Oh, I didn't even see that available. I thought the spread I saw was wider than that. The adorable one, Paolini, up a set, 7-5 over Peyton Stearns. Thank you, Zach. Let's do a French Open podcast here in the next week or so. Coming back with Are We Sure? Next.